Won't you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to begin looking at verse 23. There. You know, as you can see from the front here, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper this morning. And you may not be a member here, but that's okay. If you're a blood-bought child of God, you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've been born again of His Spirit, and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to take the Lord's Supper with us. One of the things that the Lord tells us to do, though, is to make sure we don't do it in an unworthy manner. That is, we don't do it frivolously or haphazardly or don't count it as the reverent thing that it is. And it tells us to examine ourselves to make sure that we got everything right with God when we take it. You know, it says not to take it in an unworthy manner, and there's none of us worthy because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. But what Paul meant by unworthy manner was just they were going through the motions for the church at Corinth. They're going through the motions, taking the Lord's Supper, not thinking about the replication or the implications of what was going on, that they were remembering what the Lord had done. And it was a serious thing that the Lord died on that cross. Amen? And we're to take our salvation seriously. I want you to look at it there, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you'd stand in honor of the reading of God's word with me, if you're able this morning, we're going to read Paul's instructions to the church at Corinth about taking the Lord's Supper before we do. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Father in heaven, thank you this morning. We love you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. Help us this morning as we partake of your supper, your table. Lord, we do it in a holy, reverent manner that would draw us ever closer to you and bring glory to you. For we give you the praise for it in Christ's name. And amen. You may be seated. You know, we're a forgetful people. We forget a lot of things, and God knows that. God created us. He knows all about us. In the Old Testament, he gave them many things to help them remember what he had done for them. He gave them the Passover, the lamb slain for the people to go free out of bondage from Egypt. He gave them the law with its ritual and observances and practices to remind them about his holiness. He gave them the Sabbath. It's a day of rest to remember what he had done, how he created the world. In the New Testament, he gave us baptism to picture our salvation, dying to self, raised to walk in newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us the Lord's Supper to remind us what he had done for us. When he says, "This is my body, which is broken for you," he's talking symbolically. This bread that we're going to take symbolizes the Lord Jesus' body broken on Calvary's cross for our sin. When we take of the juice, we drink of it. It's a reminder of the blood he shed for the sacrifice of our sins. See, it's a time of remembering what he did on the cross for us. It's a time of reflecting. If you go on reading down this passage of Scripture, Paul says to examine ourselves. It's a time of reflecting and looking at our lives. Are we living a life in holiness and righteousness before God? Are we serving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit? It's also a time of rejoicing. He said, "You proclaim the Lord's death till he come," because he gave us his promise that one day, you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you'll have an eternal home in heaven. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more heartache or brokenness. All will be glorious. I want you to notice some things this morning. I want to share a few thoughts about it before we partake of it this morning. I want you to notice, first off, it's an act of obedience. He says, "This do." This do. In other words, he tells do it, and obedience brings blessings. When we obey God, we do what he wants to do. He is able to bless us. Let me give you a little simple thing about it. If you've had children, if you've got children, did you bless them and do great things and give them rewards when they disobeyed you or when they obeyed you? Hello? I don't know about your parents, but my parents, if I disobeyed them, there was repercussions in a negative sense. Amen? But when I did what my mom and dad wanted me to, they would reward me. And maybe it was nothing more than just a hug and saying, I'm proud of you, I love you. Or just putting their arms around me and telling me how much they appreciated what I was doing. See, when we do the Lord's Supper, we partake of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. It's an act of obedience. And when we follow his will, he blesses us. Notice something too. It's an observance of Christ's death. He says, this do in remembrance. And across the front of the table, it's covered with a cloth right now. But it says, this do in remembrance of me. We think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did, his death, that he was crucified on that old Roman cross. He died for our sins. He rose again from the grave to give us eternal life. His body broken, beaten, whipped, nailed to a cross, spear stuck in his side. His blood shed for you and me in remembrance. You ever stop and just meditate and think about the cross, what he did for you and I? And he loved us that much that he would give his life for us. As we like to say sometimes you just ought to, in our own quiet times, pull over and park right there and meditate on what God has done for us. If you're a child of God here this morning, Jesus Christ died for you. If you're not a child of God, he died for you too. He just wants you to trust him as your Lord and Savior, that you can be saved, be part of his family of God. But notice something too, it's an act of faith. Verse 26, it says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. We haven't seen him yet, but we're going to. And we take an act of faith that we're going to take of the Lord's Supper, proclaiming that he's coming again. You know, if you told me you were coming to my house for dinner tomorrow night, and I told my wife that, hey, we've got company coming. If my wife is like a lot of you ladies, she's going to make sure that house is clean. She's going to make sure that everything is prepared. She's going to make sure that everything is done nice and neat and got it in order. Amen? And it's always amazing to me sometimes, we got family coming or something like that. She'll absolutely did drive her. She's not here this morning. She's got a bad sore throat, so I can talk about her. Amen? But we'll have family coming in, and she will absolutely drive herself up the wall wanting to make sure everything's right, the meal is prepared, everything's good. Now, if that's true in our lives here on earth, and it is, are we preparing for our Lord's coming? Our house is in order, that everything's right. Are we prepared and looking for his coming? This do in remembrance of him, that we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Do we have our house in order? That's what Paul's saying, to examine ourselves. If we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged, he said. If we would take matters in our own hands and say, you know, I'm not right with the Lord here, and I need to get this straightened up in my life, or this is not pleasing the Lord, I need to quit doing this, or I need to start doing this. You know, we think of the first Lord's Supper. If you were to go back to Luke chapter 22, verse 20, it says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. New covenant. I wonder if the disciples there, the apostles there, were thinking, what's he saying, new covenant? You know, the old covenant was one of sacrifices and of law, the blood of the lamb slain to atone, the blood shed for the atone for their sin. The interesting thing about that, when they did that on the Day of Atonement, that lamb had to be slain, the blood had to be sprinkled on the altar. They would do that once a year for the atonement of the people. But you know something? It never took away sin. It only covered sin for the year. It was a temporary thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 said the priest would daily, oftentimes ministering the same sacrifices, never could take away sin. It was only covered for a temporary time. But let me tell you something. When Jesus died in new covenant, when he died on the cross, shed his blood, he came to take away sin once, now, and forever by his shed blood. You know, I'm thinking about those apostles. They're sitting there, and he's talking about a new covenant in his blood. It's going to be shed for them. And the only mental picture that they could get, they'd never seen the cross. They didn't know what was coming. Their only mental picture that day had was a lamb being slain there at the temple and its blood being shed. The only picture they had was a lamb being slaughtered. Can you imagine the confusion? The fear, the doubt that came into their hearts and minds. And even Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. Luke chapter 22, verse 23 says, and they began to question among themselves, which of them it was who would do this thing. Matter of fact, one of the Gospels says they all went around the table basically looking at each other and said, is it I? Am I going to be the one? Can you imagine where their mindset probably was at this point in time? All of a sudden, Jesus is talking about a new covenant. His blood going to be shed. So they're going to betray him. He's going to die. He's going to leave them. You can imagine what it was like. When you think about the Lord's Supper in the early church there, they saw him die. They saw him risen. They saw him ascend back into heaven. And then they received his Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost, and they went forth proclaiming his salvation with boldness and with power. And then Jesus, having laid the marching orders for remembering his death, his bloodshed, his promise, they would come together to have the Lord's Supper, and it came together to reflect on what he had done, that he'd been crucified for their sins, that he had risen for their justification. And he was coming back to receive them again. And they had time to reflect on what he was doing and the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the people being saved, and the Lord was adding to the church daily. As they came together and they began to reflect and think about all those things that was happening, can you imagine just the joy that was overwhelming? I'm always amazed at people when they get happy in the Lord, when they get to thinking about all what God has done for them, how they react. Some people get happy and shout and run the aisles, and they just, can we say, they just throw fit, amen? And some people just sit, tears roll down their cheeks. And some people just sit and just look and kind of meditate, but their heart is kind of bursting inside with what he's done. We're all different. But the same joy can flood every soul when you trust Jesus, when you reflect on what he's done for you. And they came together to rejoice about his salvation, his strength that he was given in the face of all the persecution and the threats not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, Lord, grant it to us boldness that we proclaim your word. And they just went out and proclaimed the Lord Jesus with boldness. And they'd come together and reflect on that, what he had done for them, and his strength and his promises, and that he was alive. It's kind of like the song we just sang, Anthony. In the middle of it all, there's Jesus. He's alive. This is Baptist Church, amen? He is alive. And he lives forevermore. And he's coming one day for his children. That's a lot to be rejoicing over. And it's all because of what this table represents. He died for us. He shed his blood. He gave his life. He rose again from the grave. Amen? And we stop and we think about our lives today. We look back at what we've been and how he saved us and forgiven us. We look forward to what he's going to do in the future all the way into heaven. But let me ask you a question. What impact does the Lord's Supper have on our lives today? Will, when we leave this place, will we be different? Will we think about it, or will we just say, well, preacher, that was a good message, and man, that was a good service, and I enjoyed the music, and we go on our way as if nothing changed? Would to God, when we leave this place, we go out of here with joy in our hearts for what he's done. Will it remind us to examine our lives and look in our lives and say, Lord, am I out of fellowship with you? Am I in fellowship with you? Is there something in my life that I'm not doing and I need to be doing? Is there something I'm doing that's not pleasing to you? And when we get our lives totally in tune and line with him, it brings joy to our hearts. And the knowledge that we've been forgiven, Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the judgment of God is upon you. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one. And there's none of us good enough to work our way to heaven. We don't have enough money to buy our way into heaven. We can't do enough good deeds to... Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus offers his free gift of salvation to each and every one. If you will trust him as your Lord and Savior and call upon his name and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me and come into my heart and life and make me your child? You know what the Word of God says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we talked about last week what does saved mean. It means you've been spared from the judgment to come. It means you've been adopted in the family of God. It means you're victorious in Jesus Christ and all the troubles and trials of this life. It means you've been enlightened, your eyes open, you read the Bible, you know what it means. You know that what's coming next. You read the last chapter of the book. Hallelujah, amen. You're destined for a place called heaven. If you don't know him this morning, what greater, better time than this morning? In just a few minutes, we have our invitation. Just come say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to trust Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the grave to give eternal life to me and all who believe in it. Let me tell you something. You do that, he'll save you. He'll change you. He'll give you new life, eternal home in heaven. Give his Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in all truth. And let me tell you something, it just keeps getting better and better. And then we go from this place, do we go out as being a witness for him? Several years ago, I was kind of meditating on this, and I was thinking that night that they had the first Lord's Supper, and Jesus told him he's going to die. He told him he's going to shed his blood. He's going to leave them. One of them was going to betray him. And in the middle of that, in John 14, he says, but don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. And he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives unto you. Give I unto you. And they went out into that place. And after they had sung a hymn, and it wasn't Amazing Grace, it was a psalm. They went out into the night, down the hill, across the Kidron Valley, across the brook, Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed, and it was not long till they came to arrest him, to take him. But they went out into the night, confused, worried, fearful, not knowing what was going to happen next. Scared. But we can go out this morning and it's bright and light outside. Sun shining. They went out with fear. We go out with hope. We go out with joy because he's accomplished it and he's rose again from the grave. We do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. That is not just here, but we go out into this world and we tell others the good news of the gospel. So this morning, before we take of it, I want us to pause and I want us to bow our heads and close our eyes just for a few moments and just meditate on a few thoughts that are in this passage of Scripture. One question is, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, just between you and God, are you a child of God? Have you been born again? Was there a time, a place in your life where you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and to come into your life and save you? Can you remember the time, the place? You may not remember the exact date, you may not remember the exact hour, but you remember where it was at and you remember what happened. If you're a child of God, just rejoice in your heart. If you're not this morning, I wouldn't waste another hour before I trusted Christ. Even another 30 minutes or 10 minutes. And let's ask ourselves the question, are we following him with our whole hearts? Or is our Christianity just a Sunday thing? Are we sharing his good news with others? And with our heads still bowed and eyes still closed, just for a moment, I want you to notice too, just think about something. The Lord's table is also a table of restoration. That if there's some things not right between you and the Lord, you're out of fellowship with him this morning, that you could say, Lord, help me to be restored to your fellowship. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Hold me with your free spirit. Cleanse my heart, O God. It's a table of restoration. I'm going to pray. Before I do, I want us to just have a few moments of just quiet time that you might speak to the Lord and let him speak to you about whatever you need to do. So let's just pause right now. Father, we thank you for what you did in sending your son to die in our place. We thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to die, to give your life a ransom for us. We thank you that you allowed your body to be broken, to be whipped, scourged, a crown of thorn placed on your head, your hands and feet nailed. You were mocked, you were ridiculed, and you gave up your life for us. Lord, as we observe this Lord's Supper, help us to remember what it means. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning that your Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts in whatever manner we need to fill us with your joy, to know your peace, your strength, and your wisdom. And we give you thanks for it in Christ's name. Amen. You fellows would stand. Father in heaven, help us as we pass this bread out, Lord, to remember that it was your body that was broken for us. Lord, help us to meditate on that this morning. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you for giving your life for us. We praise you this morning. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to die in our place, to grant eternal life to all who would trust in him. Thank you for this Lord's Supper that you gave us to remind us, to stir our hearts for you, and always be faithful to be about your business. We give thanks to you this morning for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. We give you praise, and with every head bowed and every eye closed, in faith comes. This morning we're going to have a time of invitation. And the invitation is this: if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, when they begin to play, don't wait till somebody else goes or anything else happens. Just step out of your seat and come and say, "Pastor, I need Jesus. I'll pray with you. I'll show you how you can know Christ as your Lord and Savior and his forgiveness of sin." If you're here this morning, there's something you just want to come and pray about, maybe someone, you need to come there's some other decision you need to make. Maybe you want to join the church. You've been coming here for a while and feel like this is where the Lord would have you to be. Just let him have his way this morning, whatever is working in your heart about. Father in heaven, thank you. I praise you for what you're about to do in our midst. Help us to focus our eyes on you. We give you praise and thanks in Christ's name. And amen.